It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 36. We're going to begin reading with the 24th verse today. So Exodus chapter 36, verse 24. While you're opening your Bibles to that scripture verse, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Exodus chapter 36, beginning to read with verse 24. And the 40 sockets of silver he made under the 40 boards, 2 sockets under 2 boards for his 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under another board for his 2 tenons. And for the other side of the tabernacle, which is towards the north corner, he made 20 boards, and there 40 sockets of silver, and 2 sockets under 1 board, and 2 sockets under another board. And for the sides of the tabernacle, westward, he made 6 boards. 2 boards made he for the corners of the tabernacle in the 2 sides, and they were coupled beneath and coupled together at the head thereof, 2-1 ring to 1 ring. Thus he did to both of them in both the corners. And there were 8 boards, and their sockets were 16 sockets of silver, under every board 2 sockets. And he made bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the boards of the tabernacle for the sides westward. And he made the middle bar to shoot through the boards from the one end to the other. And he overlaid the boards with gold and made their rings of gold to be placed for the bars, and overlaid the bars with gold. And he made a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen. With cherubims made he it for cunning work. And he made thereunto 4 pillars of acacia wood, and overlaid them with gold. Their hooks were of gold, and he cast for them 4 sockets of silver. And he made an hanging for the tabernacle door of blue and of purple and of scarlet and fine twined linen of needlework, and 5 pillars of it with their hooks, and he overlaid their catipers and their fillets with gold, but their 5 sockets were of brass. Now we're going to begin with prayer now after reading God's precious word. Thank you, dear Father, for this time together. I just ask you that you will guide and lead us today as we study this precious word. Please that you show us your way and will for the day. It's so important, dear Lord, that we spend this time together, this precious, precious time. I thank you for the opportunity of sharing the gospel and sharing your word with so many. Please, dear Lord, that you'll continue to grow this ministry and continue to use your word and your power to save the lost and to grow, to heal, and to strengthen the saved. Please, dear Lord, it is so wonderful that to watch your power as it comes, and it, you know, we think of a physical healing, dear Lord, but the spiritual healing is much more important than any physical healing. And we know that you can do both if you choose to. So please, dear Lord, today that you would just touch each one of our lives with your presence, guide and lead us, and have us look to you for everything, dear Lord, depending upon you for all that we need each and every day. But first of all, dear Lord, that we come to you for salvation, having our sins forgiven. We need that personal relationship. So, dear Lord, I ask today that all would listen and all would come. And please use this program and this broadcast to bring folks to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a wonderful day we have as we come together and and enjoy this study. So please enjoy it. I hope that you are able to have your Bibles open. If you're traveling, as I know many are at this time, and that's just fine, you just please listen very carefully. It is a wonderful study, and you wonder as we look at the boards and the bars and all those things, what can that have to do with anything? Well, it's very important because you see all from the beginning of Genesis to the end of the Revelation points and directs us to our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And this building here is no different in any way. It is set to bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's His purpose. And so please, as we look now, and I backed up and read from the 24th verse. We actually got down through verse 30 last time we were together in this study here. But I wanted you to read one more time, and I want you to recognize and to see, and we didn't get to look up some scripture verses, and we're going to be looking today at Exodus chapter 38, verses 25 and 27. We're going to touch in a scripture verse in Numbers chapter 3, verse 49. We're going to look at Leviticus 17:11. We're going to look at 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, and Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. As we look at this section here from verse 24 to 30, because it's so important that we see the importance of this silver and the importance of what it is set on. Because today, if you are building on any other foundation other than the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you're building on any foundation other than His precious blood, your building is going to collapse, it's going to fall, and it's of no value. And so please today that you see that. You may be very religious, you may be in church every Sunday, you may be in service, you may be teaching, you may be doing so many things in the name of God, in the name of religion, and even in the name of Jesus. But if you do not recognize the need to be saved, to be born again, to ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and save you, if you don't see the need for that personal relationship, because my Savior is alive. He is alive. He is at the right hand of the Father right now making intercession for me. And I praise Him and I worship Him and I honor Him. And I just ask, my friend, that you realize that it's not just some religious activity. It's not some chant that you repeat week after week or day after day. It is something that is personal, it is real, and you need to invite the Lord Jesus to come into your heart. The importance of this study here shows us that everything is set upon this silver foundation. And as we look through the scripture, you're going to find that the silver represents the blood of Christ, the redemptive blood of Christ. Every individual will be counted, and they gave a half a shekel. That was something that everyone could give. It was of no great value. In other words, no one was eliminated by not being able to have that amount to pay. And so every person has given to this foundation, this silver foundation. And we have looked at its size, and as we count all the way around the tabernacle, you're going to find that there are 100 in number, each block weighing approximately 100 pounds. And so the very foundation of this tabernacle, what everything rests upon is this silver foundation, and it weighs about 10,000 pounds. Now remember, this is a building that they moved. They would take this up and move it to another location, and did that many times through this 40-year travel before they got into the Promised Land. But 10,000 pounds is what just the foundation only weighed. Now this again is 45 by 15 in size. And we have looked at a couple of verses of Scripture earlier. We're going to repeat those and then look the other was others up. And again, I want you to see that everything sets upon this foundation. And the picture that that presents to us is that our faith, our religion, our relationship with Christ, everything needs to be based upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, His precious blood, specifically His blood. And many people today deny that. If you deny the blood of Christ, then you deny Christ. And if you deny Christ, salvation is not yours. And so how important it is it is very, very important, and it's very necessary for you to be saved, to have faith and believe in Jesus Christ. Now, let's go back here just for a minute, and we're going to look at Exodus chapter 30, and I want you to take a look at what we were just speaking of here, Exodus chapter 30, and the 11th verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord, when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. This they shall give, every one that passeth among them that are numbered is a half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. And half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. And verse 15. The rich shall give no more, the rich not give more, the poor shall not give less than a half a shekel, when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. Now, that is the most important. The others are very good, but we needed to read that and see that everything depends upon the foundation that we have. The foundation has to be the blood of Christ. It is an atonement. And so, what a wonderful picture, as all of our fellowship, all of our service, everything is built upon this foundation, the blood of Jesus Christ that He shed for you and me, that He presented to His Father in the Holy of Holies in heaven for us on our behalf. That's what everything is connected to. You take that blood away, and again, you have taken your salvation away. He said, Larry, you've always taught that you can't lose your salvation. If you do not believe in the blood of Christ and its precious power and strength, salvation was never yours. You never trusted in Jesus Christ, because the Spirit of God that lives within you will not deny Himself. And that's what you're saying when you deny the blood of Jesus Christ. So I stand, you cannot lose your salvation. But many people make a profession of faith, but they never trusted Him in their hearts. And this is some of the proof. We're back to fruit here. You can see, we know that if you deny the Lord Jesus Christ in this manner, salvation was never yours. So repent and turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ today. So these verses of Scripture here are very powerful Scripture verses. And now that we move back to chapter 36 in the book of Exodus, we once again look at these sockets, and everything is tightly fit together as we look, and they're slid down into the gold bars, the gold boards. They're acacia wood overlaid with gold. Again, then here is the silver, the pure silver. Okay, that's the blood of Christ. Then next comes this board that is attached into that. The silver is the foundation, the board is the sidewalls. As this sidewall, this board is attached there, we find it to be of acacia wood and gold, once again, standing for the humanity of God and the deity of God. the gold, the deity, the wood, the humanity. And so what a wonderful picture of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we look at those things. Now we have the boards, we have the sockets, we have the boards, and then we have the rings that hold it all together. Again, they are, as the Scripture tells us here, coated with gold. And so what a wonderful, beautiful picture. Let's go ahead now and let's look at these other verses of Scriptures very quickly, and then we'll move on to this next section. Exodus chapter 38, verse 25, "And the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents, and 1,750 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary." Verse 27. "And 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary, and the sockets of the veil, and 100 sockets of 100 talents, a talent for a socket." And again, we've already spoken that this socket weighs about 100 pounds, and there are 100 of those. And so it is, as we look at those numbers there, well, that kind of helps you to understand the size, the weight, the importance. And so we read back in Exodus chapter 30, verses 11 through 13, and the 15th verse. If you didn't get an opportunity, try to remember those verses to go back and see that every individual, and remember, the rich could give no more, but the poor could give no less. You see, in Christ's eyes, every person is equal. Every person is a sinner born in sin, and every person needs redemption. And our Savior Jesus Christ gives us that if we'll just come to Him by faith and trust in Him. So please do that today. Numbers now was another one here that we can turn to quickly. Numbers chapter 3. And as we look at Numbers chapter 3, there is just, as you read the whole section, but there's one part here that is really clear, and it says, "And Moses took the redemption money of them." And this is concerning the Levites and their position and concerning the firstborn. But I love those verses of Scripture, "Moses took the redemption money." And so we need to understand that's what this represented, was the blood of Christ, because that is where our redemption comes from. And now let's go and return towards the front of the Bible to Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17, and we'll go to the 11th verse, Leviticus 17:11. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for your soul." And see, as we look into Leviticus here, number one, this everything is set upon this foundation of silver, but also as they would proceed through the services, and particularly on the Day of Atonement. On the Day of Atonement, as we've talked many times, we have the goat. We have two goats. One was slain, and the blood was caught, and it was presented before the Lord in the Holy of Holies, sprinkled 7 times. Then the other goat, as it was on the left outside, as Aaron, the high priest, would come, and he would lay his hands upon this goat, and he would confess all the sins of the nation of Israel. And then that goat would be led away into the wilderness, never to return. What a tremendous picture of what takes our sins away. It is the precious blood, and it is taken away as far as the east is to the west, and never to return. Oh, tremendous picture that we have here. Let's go on now to the New Testament, and we're going to go all the way to 1 Peter. 1 Peter is a wonderful study. If you have not taken the time to study that book, please that you would do so, because it is a powerful study. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Again, the connection between the silver, this foundation, and the blood of Christ. And isn't it something how in the 18th verse there, Peter even says, not by silver or gold, because you see, this silver and this gold that was even in the tabernacle was something that represented something to come. It in itself couldn't save anyone. It's what it stood for. It's the picture that we had. And so please understand that those things are of no value concerning your salvation. And if you're holding on to your riches to do you think you're doing something of service, you're helping someone, you're giving so much money, but you have neglected your heart and the need to come to the Lord Jesus for salvation, please do so today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. The other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Beautiful scripture verses here. And keep this in connection with this foundation that God is asking them to lay at the for this tabernacle. We're going to go to Hebrews now. We're going to go to Hebrews and the 9th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. We're going to look to the 11th and 12th verse. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. What a beautiful verse of scripture to end this section with today. Now let's go all the way back to Exodus, to the front of your Bible, Exodus chapter 36, and we have really taken most of the day to look at these, once again, these silver sockets. But it's something that we needed to always understand. And please, each time that you look at this now, I hope that you'll think of the blood of Christ and how important it is. It is not just something that is of minor necessity. It is of the utmost. There is no salvation without the Lord Jesus Christ in his precious blood. Now, as we look at the rest of these verses of Scripture here, verse 31, we look at the bars of acacia wood, five of the bars, one on one side, one on the other. As God ties all of this together, you know, He not only gives us the proper foundation, and He shows us our protection in the Lord Jesus, but He binds us together, and all is in Christ. Because if you'll notice here, these bars are made of acacia wood. And we'll also, if you would go to verse 34, you'll see that those bars are overlaid with gold. So once again, we're back to that same beautiful picture of the Lord's, the gold being His deity, the wood being, and looking at His humanity. And so let's continue now as we look at the five bars as he binds this together. And he surely saves us and He keeps us. And it is a, you know, we've spoken in a study we've had in the book of Job, how that God had placed a hedge around him. Oh, he takes care of every aspect of our lives. He directs us, He leads us, He gives us wisdom, He gives us power, He gives us strength. And I love these bars as they circle around this tabernacle to hold everything together. And so we have the rings, they're of gold, they're covered of gold too. And so we just continue to have this picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as He will come to earth some 1,500 years later. And yet we still have this picture of His blood and all that's a part of it. And then we get back to the veil. You know, we've looked at the ceiling. We've spent quite a bit of time there. But we have two veils. And if you look at verse 35, there's a veil there. And then we have in verse 37 a second veil. Well, the first veil is the one that's between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. If you'll recall, there is two rooms. One is 30 by 40 by 15, and the other is 15 by 15. The ceiling height is 15 foot tall all the way through this structure. And so, again, as you would come in from the outer courtyard, the first one you will see is the outer veil. And we'll read it first, verse 37. And he made an hangings for the tabernacle door of blue and purple and scarlet. Oh, those colors, those wonderful colors. The purple, of course, speaks of his royalty and him being a king. And the scarlet, of him suffering and his precious blood, of course. And then we look at the blue, and the blue, you know, speaks of his eternal power and him being the Son of God, coming from heaven down here to save us. All these colors are embroidered, are of needlework, it says. And of course, the fine twined linen that we have here speaks of his perfection. And so every time we turn, every direction you look, as you come towards this place, you see the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now we're going to come through that first veil, and we're coming into the holy place, 30 foot by 15 foot, 15 foot walls. What do we see? You see, first of all, you see gold walls. You see probably what is directed first, your sight would be to the lampstand. It is of pure gold. It has seven cups, seven candles. And so as we look at this, we see the perfection of Christ, the strength of Christ, the light of Christ, and of course the oil that's in these little cups that feed the lamps, that speaks of the Holy Spirit. We always have the anointing of the oil, and the Holy Spirit here is what represents that. So you see, we have every part here. And so we look to the lampstand, and we see the beautiful light reflecting off of the gold walls, and we would maybe glance our eyes upward and see the beautiful embroidered cherubims with all the gorgeous colors that we've spoken of, and our eyes would maybe collapse, come downward, straight forward, and we would see then the inner veil, and it is the same. The veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen with cherubims made of cunning work. This is the veil that was rent in two when Jesus died on the cross. So let me help you see where that was located. Of course, it wasn't in the tabernacle. It was in the temple that was later built. But this here speaks and represents, again, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have the acacia wood overlaid with gold. The hooks were gold, and the four sockets of silver, once again, that holds this center section up. So we have the inner veil. And so now we get to that place, and again, of course, still in that same room that's 30 by 15, the holy place. I spoke of the lampstand, I've spoken of the ceiling, the gold walls, I've spoken now of the inner veil that has these beautiful colors presenting the Lord Jesus to us. And so as we would come then on down, we will find in the center, towards the Holy of Holies, the incense altar, and it, of course, is burning, and so we have that sweet incense. We have the beautiful gold walls. Then you come over to the other side, and you would see the table of showbread. It, too, is gold over acacia wood overlaid with gold, as the incense altar is, and then the lampstand is pure gold. So now you see the beauty. I mean, it is wonderful. It is so sweet, so beautiful, so sweet smelling inside. And then, of course, we move on to the Holy of Holies, and that'll be the study that we'll start on next time. And so please that you don't miss coming. Don't miss the study of the Word of God. And don't miss Jesus Christ, because this all speaks so clearly. so clearly of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's a wonderful day, a wonderful time to come together. And so now as we close each time, I always ask you that precious, sweet question. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?